friends as Ryan and the others joined them, brief smiles playing across their dirty faces.
Glad to see you alive, lover.
Ryan and Christy fiercely hugged, savoring the sheer existence of each other, then reluctantly parted.
Same here, big man.
Here, compliments of Baron Withers.
He passed the beauty her gun belt, blaster, and a heavy box of ammo.
Thanks.
Meanwhile, Mildred pulled JB close and nearly suffocated the wary man with a long, fierce kiss.
You okay?
Tell you later.
Gratefully, Dean dropped his load of backpacks to the road, and they all took their bundles without checking the contents. There was no time for that now. Even with his ankle throbbing, Jack felt better with the pack in place. He always seemed slightly off balance without it.
What happened to the fort?
Thought we could use a diversion. After the alarm sounded, the guards rushed out to man the walls, so we raided the armory and lit a couple of fuses.
Chaos is the shield of the lost.
Doc passed out grins. Each companion got 4 of the AP charges and shoved them away into pockets and backpacks.
Damn it!
JB answered blaster fire from the stone wall with his own Thompson fire, the rounds punching a line of holes along the side of a house. Then Doc emptied his Webley, and a pirate appeared in a second-floor window to fall to his death.
Nice shot!
A necessity.
Doc cracked open the top of the Webley and flipped it over to pour out the shells. Tossing them away, the spent brass musically rang on the cobblestone street as he started thumbing in fresh bullets. As much as the old man hated to admit it, the Webley was a better blaster in every way compared to the Lamar. More accurate, loaded faster, lighter, less recoil, hit harder, everything. Perhaps his adamantine decision to keep the ancient weapon was due for some serious thought. Through the stereoscope, Ryan swept the ville below them, checking the combat encircling the wall. Hummers raked the defenders with machine guns, the pirates replying with flintlocks, cannons, and crossbows. But every time the pirates formed a group to concentrate their weapons fire, the sec men launched a firebird, and dozens were aced.
Glassman and Mitchum, this is no wreck or raid. It's a full-blown invasion.
With enough weapons to get the job done, they came to get us and found the pirates instead.
Prob tink we pirates.
Most definitely, Jack. I think the sec men want the pirates first, but we're definitely number 2 on their hit list.
I do not know whom to root for, Glassman or the pirates.
Doesn't matter. Both sides want us aced.
Better take this, Millie.
Jibby eased the tension on the arming bolt and passed over the bulky Thompson.
I can't operate it and my Uzi at the same time.
Chambered for 22 rounds?
Nope. 45 APC.
Can't imagine we'll need this to get out of here.
Madam, we are going to require a blessed miracle.
Incoming!
The companions cut loose as the rocket did a lazy spiral over the tumultuous Pirateville. Then it angled sharply and dove almost straight down to disappear behind a brick building.
Wasn't after us.
A warm draft from the detonation washed over the companions, carrying the smell of sulfur and roasted flesh.
Next time it will be.
Across the settlement, the blaster fire continued unabated from the wall, but the cannons were sounding more sporadically, probably running low on black powder. The nameless ville had been there for decades and had never been attacked. The locals simply weren't prepared for a major battle against sec men armed with rapid fires and in war wags. Screaming and pointing at the cloud, a group of terrified people ran out of the alleyway, clutching their meager possessions. The companions let them pass unmolested until some armed pirates ran into view. Both JB and Mildred dropped into a firing stance, and the Uzi and Thompson chattered briefly. The men were mowed down. Something slammed into the stone wall in front of them, and Dean spotted a sec man on a rooftop, hastily reloading his long blaster. The boy raised the Weatherby, braced for the recoil, and fired. The crack of the Nitro Express made heads turn across the ville, and it was a full second before the sniper flipped over backward. Without expression, Dean worked the bolt, levering in a fresh cartridge. At short range, the massive rounds went straight through a man, like a rock through glass, with about the same results. Just then, a rickety cart loaded with barrels of black powder rattled by on the cobblestone street, the driver cursing and whipping the sweaty horses. Dean raised the Weatherby, but Ryan stopped him from firing.
We want the pirates to have the ammo. The longer they fight with the sec men, the fewer can come after us.
Gotcha.
Mayhap it would be appropriate to terminate our visit.
Doc discharged the Lamar. then the Webley, at pirates coming their way. One man dove for cover with a badly wounded arm, while the other went flat and stayed there.
The mesa's only 20 miles or so to the west.
Mildred fought to clear a jammed round. Over near the arena, she noted that plumes of smoke were rising from a two-story building with wooden shutters.
Good.
Pulling out his scope, J.B. swept the entire bill.
There's a gate in the western wall. Only a few guards.
Horse cart came from over there.
Okay, let's grab some transport. 20 miles is a long way to run. Come on, let's go.
Striding along the wide top of the limestone wall that sealed off the valley, Peter Tungamorlena shouted orders to the sailors under his command. The air tasted of black powder fumes, and aced pirates lay everywhere, pools of blood making the limestone slippery to walk on. Most he knew by name, shipmates and fellow officers, but every corpse felt a rage of revenge against the invaders.
How the fuck did they get past the rad pits alive? Keep firing, you bitches!
Tungamorlena discharged his blaster at the racing Hummers darting about in the jungle. He scored a hit, but the .44 mini-ball only ricocheted harmlessly off the armored side of the military wedge. The Lord Baron Sekhmen answered with a burst from their giant rapid-fire blaster, the spray of 50-caliber slugs raking the wall and its handful of defenders.
Shit.
Designed to withstand bombardments from rogue ships in the bay, the stout limestone blocks were holding against the Firebirds and Grens, but the steel-plated front gate was beginning to weaken, the cold iron hinges sagging under the door's weight. Rocks on the brick barbican had been dropped to hinder the Hummer's advance. And the tactic worked, but only for a while. The Sekhmen's Grens were slowly clearing a path for the deadly wags. As Tungamorlena quickly reloaded, the pirates struck back with flintlocks and crossbows, the wounded reloading for the healthy. The few remaining cannons roared in a ragged volley, sending a hailstorm of seashells and rocks into the jungle. More than once, a hidden Sekhmen screamed and fell to the ground, horribly mutilated from the razor-sharp barrage. But there always seemed to be more, and nothing stopped the Hummers. Even the tires seemed resistant to lead and arrows. Behind him, chaos filled the Ville streets, buildings burning out of control, and civilians looting like hungry jackals.
The triple damn cowards.
There only seemed to be a couple of those PT boats in the bay, and the pirates outnumbered the attackers 20-1. But those accursed Firebirds made the difference, even when they missed. The fallout from the explosions threw flaming wreckage about and spread the damage across Homeportville. Taking a pepper box from an arm without a body, Tungamorlena tracked the passage of a Hummer and squeezed the trigger. The 45 tiny chambers of the honeycomb barrel simultaneously fired, the swarm of iron needles spraying the military wag. A Sekhmen cried out, his face a bloody ruin. In response, a Sekhmen stepped from the bushes holding a fat tube and launched a Firebird. The rocket streaked past the limestone so low that its fiery exhaust washed over several men, igniting their clothes and hair. Shrieking, the pirates slapped at their crackling bodies, one going over the side, and the other dashing madly about until chilled by one of his own men.
Cannons! Fire!
We can't, sir! The metal's too fucking hot! The powder'll blow if we try a reload!
Then wash them with water first!
We ain't got no water!
Scorch! We got any Firebirds?
We've stolen dozens over the years, but they won't launch at Kinnison's troops! Got no fucking idea why, but they just won't do it! It's like the bastard thinks we're alive!
Okay, then launch them at the sky. When the rockets run out of powder, they'll rain down on the attackers from above.
Yeah, might work. Yeah, but the wind could shift our side of the wall and...
Obey!
The gunner saluted and limped away. Tungamorlena aimed and pulled the trigger on the pepper box before remembering it was empty.
Fuck!
It was the only weapon they had that was harming the Sekhmen, and it took half an hour to reload. With 100 of these, Kinnison's troops would be feeding the fish by now. But there were only about 20 in the whole ville, and each had been used already. Furious, the officer tossed the useless blaster away and grabbed a flintlock and ammo bag from a headless man. As much as the officer hated to admit it, it was starting to appear that they were going to lose this battle. Best be prepared for street fighting. Although with Baron Withers' fortress gone, he had no idea where the pirates could retreat to for a last stand. The slave quarters? The armory? No, that was also gone. He went to the edge of the wall.
Barricade that door!
Aye, aye, sir. You heard the man. Get moving.
Shoulders hunched against the expected lash of the ensign's bullwhip, the line of chained slaves began hoisting wreckage from the collapsed houses and piling it against the door to reinforce the portal.